today on Real Radio.
In a storm, do you walk to Jesus? In an issue of life, are you going to Jesus? In the things of this life's challenges and difficulties, or have you taken your eyes off of Jesus? Peter is going to be teaching us that in the midst of rejection, cruel treatment from the world, that God has not forsaken us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a brand new series called The First Epistle of Peter with a message titled, Anchored to the One True God. It's been said that just a pat on the back can go a long way. And the Apostle Peter, well, he understood this, so his words of encouragement arrived just in time to bring comfort and inspiration. Even though many Christ followers in Peter's day were suffering under the heavy hand of the Romans, Peter reminds them that these trials and persecutions will not defeat them. Christians today, perhaps more than any other time, are in need of encouragement as well. Peter's first letter stood true with its message of hope in the face of adversity. Peter knew suffering all too well. He was a man who literally walked with Jesus and through many painful lessons, and he learned what it meant to be anchored in Jesus through all of his struggles. So today on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that given the age we live in, Peter's life is one we can learn from. He was a man who suffered and knew what it was like to fail. But Peter didn't stay in that failure. He went on to touch the world for Christ with boldness and determination of heart. And now in his message called Anchored to the One True God, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
John leans over to Peter and says, "It's the Lord." How did John know? I don't know. It doesn't say. John says, "It's the Lord." And the Bible says, read it later, John 21. It says, Peter stood up and put on his outer garment. It means he had his undergarments on. It's not exactly fruit of the loom. It's a little bit more than that, but not much. Now, listen, it says Peter put on his robe. Do you put on your robe to jump in the water? No. Peter puts on the robe, dives in. In fact, the Bible says that he plunged into the sea. The word plunged in Greek means he threw himself into the water. There's no organization to it. He's getting his robe on. He's getting it on, and he just flings himself into the water. And the Bible says he swims 100 cubits to shore. It's 130 yards long. 130 yards, longer than a football field. What does that tell you about Peter? Passionate, impetuous, wanted to be with Jesus. Isn't that sweet? By the way, listen, are you here today and you're one? You see, Pastor, go back to the thing you mentioned a moment ago about denying Jesus Christ. I haven't gotten past that yet. Well, listen, you can get past it now. The very one that denied Jesus to his face is the first one in the water. When John said, "It's the Lord," Peter didn't say, "How do you know?" He doesn't even ask. Peter doesn't say, "Are you sure?" Just at the thought of it being Jesus, Peter says to himself, I'm assuming, I wasn't there, Peter must say to himself, "I'm not letting him get away again." And he dives in, head over heels, swims to shore 130 yards. And the Bible says that when the boat arrived on the shore, that all the fishermen tried to pull the net. What had happened? He said, "Jack, I thought you said they didn't catch any fish." They hadn't caught any fish. But what happened was when Jesus said, "Little boys, do you have any food?" And they responded, "No, certainly not. No way, no fish to be caught." It's the famous line. Jesus said, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat." Non-fishermen from shore telling fishermen where to put their net. Amazing. You think there's more fish on one side of the boat than on the other side of the boat? Have you ever noticed when you go down to the Newport Beach Pier, there's people fishing on one side of the pier and on the other side of the pier? They're all in the exact, it's nice, evenly distributed until, guess what happens? Watch it next time, it's amazing. And if a little nine-year-old catches a fish on the right side of the pier, and then that little nine-year-old catches another fish on that same side of the pier, guess what happens? All these grown-up, experienced fishermen start going, And they start putting their pole on the, it's a fact, they put their pole other side of the pier. The same amount of fish is on both sides. It's not the sides of the pier. But when you're God from the shore and you can see the fish and you know the fish and you know the fishermen who are fishermen but can't catch fish, how did the fish know to go into the net? How did the fish know to be on the right side of the boat? They didn't. Jesus must have whispered in fish talk, swim into that net. The Bible says that the net was almost beginning to break, and by the time they get the boat to the shore, the Bible tells us that the disciples tried to pull the net to the shore, they couldn't do it. Then the Bible says Peter went up and grabbed the net himself, and Peter pulled the net onto the shore, and the fish were 153, and they were shocked that the net didn't break. Peter did that. He was a big man. According to church history, he was huge. Peter was, no doubt, being a fisherman, sun-bleached, leathered, fisherman, up all night, up all day, hard job, and strong. No girly man, tough guy, a man's man. I say that to you today. Think about that, a man's man. That when this man saw Jesus, his only meaning in life was to get to him, even if it was jumping into that water. Peter, let's remember who we're talking about. It's Peter who, when they thought they were gonna die in the boat, remember? And the storm was raging. It was Peter, and I love it. You wanna talk about a fleece? You know what a fleece is? Lord, you want me to have that job? I'll say yes to that job. Show me a sign, God, show me a sign. If the sun comes up tomorrow, that'd be a sign, show me a sign. You know how we set that up. God, if you want me to buy that house or that Ferrari, have me breathe 3 times. Must be the Lord. Okay, that's insane, okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. But in that storm, they all thought they were going to die, says the Bible. And Peter sees Jesus walking on water. And Peter does the ultimate. He shouts to this personage that's in the water. And he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to walk on the water. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a fleece for your next job or whatever you want to do. Ain't no way Peter's going to walk on the water unless God's in it. And Jesus says, come on. Can you imagine? And the Bible tells us Peter, in a storm. I wouldn't even be in a boat in a storm. Peter is in a boat, and then he gets out of the boat. And he steps on the water. And Peter walks to Jesus on the water. I love this guy. You've got to love this guy. And of course, he's so human, because the Bible tells us when he began to look at the waves, what does that mean? If he's looking at the waves, he's not looking at Jesus. Oh my gosh, the world's falling apart. Yes, it is. No, it's not. No, the world's all falling together, if you know your Bible. But this is happening and that's happening. Falling together. It's all coming together, if you know your Bible. It's not falling apart. But where do you go? In a storm, do you walk to Jesus? In an issue of life, are you going to Jesus in the things of this life's challenges and difficulties? Or have you taken your eyes off of Jesus? Peter is going to be teaching us that in the midst of rejection, cruel treatment from the world, that God has not forsaken us. In fact, this is going to be serious. People are not going to like to hear this. But when somebody tells you over and over again that your suffering is because you don't have enough faith, if your suffering is because you haven't tithed enough, if your suffering is because you keep looking at the wrong thing and you need to buy my book to think more positive about yourself, really? Tell that to Peter. Tell that to those who are in Asia and Cappadocia and Bithynia, right? Tell it to them. Peter's going to tell you that the only way that you and I can spiritually develop and grow is if you and I go through life's sufferings with Jesus. Can I read to you the fine print, ladies and gentlemen? Every one of us, believer or non-believer, will go through difficulties in life. Please listen, this is so elementary. If you're here today and you are a full-blown atheist, Satanist, warlock, witch, whatever you might be, do you understand something? You're still going to get cancer. Or you're still going to get bone disease or osteoporosis or, you know what I'm saying? These things befall all of humanity. You can be the most saintly saint, the most godly person in the world, and die of full-blown cancer. Because my body, your body, has been sold into sin. Our bodies bear the pain of sin. We live in a sinful world. So don't write me later and say, I can't believe you said that because I believe I'll never get sick. Well, you just keep believing it. We'll just laugh at you when you get sick. We'll pray for you after we laugh, all right. But the truth is this, the Bible tells us it's through suffering that we become more like Jesus. See, we live in a westernized version of the gospel. Nothing bad's gonna happen to me. I'm gonna be rich. I'm gonna be smart. I'm gonna be rich. Somehow I'm gonna be more beautiful than I am this moment. No, you're not. No, that's not how it works. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter writes to us and says, in the midst of suffering, you can embrace the suffering. Listen, because a Satanist, a godless person, even a very moral unbeliever, you go through this life suffering with no hope. You have nobody to hold your hand. And I'm not talking about your friends. I'm talking about there is a hand that will hold your hand in the midst of pain and sorrow and suffering. It's so invisible, but you feel like he's squeezing your hand. It's Jesus Christ walks all of his kids to the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm telling you right now, everyone's going to go through troubles. Why don't you today decide to go through your life's troubles with meaning and purpose and victory? Why would you go through your life's troubles with loss, mayhem, and destruction? It's going to happen. Why not go with Christ? Why not do it to God's glory and know him? Oh, it's absolutely awesome. God's promises to us. And so Peter's writing to a people that are going to be and have already been greatly, greatly attacked. The Bible tells us that Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ. So wait a minute. Did he write that correctly? Shouldn't it say Peter, a fisherman of Jesus Christ? No. Did Peter fish anymore? Maybe for fun, maybe for his family, whatever. But that's not, listen, fishing is what he did. A fisherman was not who he was. Church family, the days, and I have no inside information, I'm just saying. The way the world is going, things could get real rough. I want Peter, I prayed long about this book. This is unusual for us, because we did this book, I think, 18 years ago, here at this church. We've never redone a book. And I prayed hard, and I felt strong about Peter, keep coming back. Could it be that in your life or in my life or in our life that the days or the future ahead is going to demand that you and I draw from Peter? Peter's writing to believers. There's not an evangelistic verse in this entire book. Did you know that? Oh, great. How's my friend going to get saved then? I brought him here today. Can't you kind of sugarcoat it a little bit, Pastor? No, actually, if they're really thinkers, if they're into reality, then I think they heard something a moment ago that's got them thinking already, and that is, yeah, you're right. You know what? I've seen good people and bad people go through very, very hard things. And I think the hard things in my life have got me thinking. It's one of the reasons why I'm here right now. And that guy standing there said earlier that it's Jesus who came and died on the cross and rose again from the dead for our sins. And if I stop and think for a second, nobody in this room is pointing at me, but I can point at myself, someone may be thinking today, of the sins that you've racked up in life. Number one, because you're smart, I want to ask you, how do you know they're sins? How do you know that's a sin? It could be all the way from I murdered that man to I told a white lie. And yet you know down deep inside. It's bothering you right now. It's on your conscience. How do you know that? Have you ever thought about that? How is it that your conscience, which is a scientific mystery, the human conscience, consciousness is a mystery to science. How is it that you have guilt and remorse, conviction of sin? Because God's speaking to you. He's real. And he's saying to you, I want you into this family. And then on top of it, all the hardships that are coming in life, God says, I'll walk you through them. I'll take you all the way through them. And not only through them, I'm going to use them. I'm going to use them in your life to make you more like my son, so that when you come like Peter to the older years of your life, you'll be a seasoned saint. Your life will have value. You'll have something to say instead of just saying something, because Peter was great. In his early days, it was so fun to read the Gospels and watch Peter make mistakes, because it's so encouraging. The Bible tells us when Jesus there appeared and Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were there. And the Bible says, because Peter didn't know what to say, he said, and he starts talking. That's Peter. Picks up the musket, shoots the thing, gets it ready, and then he aims. That's Peter. Peter, Jesus says, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. And Peter rebukes Jesus. You know what you're talking about, God, excuse me, but it's me, Peter. Remember that? And Jesus says, get thee behind me. You love this guy, and I want to hear from him, because he's a man who suffered. He's a man who denied Jesus. And when Jesus was getting ready to ascend back to heaven, listen to this. Jesus told Peter, and I bet it was ringing in his ears, before Jesus left, Jesus told Peter, Peter, Satan has asked me if he could have you by name. You guys all hear that? Can you imagine? Hey, Peter, Satan just appeared to me and he was asking me if he could have you, rip you up, just tear you to shreds. Jesus tells this to Peter. I love this. And I bet you Peter's like, wow, that's heavy, man. I don't wish that on anybody. And Jesus said, when you return, Peter, strengthen your brethren. Excuse me, what? Jesus, I thought you just said, when I return, for me to be an inspiration to my brothers. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Well, where am I going? Well, Satan asked for you. And he's going to rip you up. When you come back, take what you've learned and communicate it to others. I love that. You never buy a book written about marriage from someone who's never been married. Right? When Pastor Steve made the announcement about the upcoming course on communication in relationships, everybody who's married here went, oh man, woo! Why? Because we all need help. All of this difficulty, all of these challenges, we grow in these things. God uses them. And he does a great work. God called Peter to be an apostle. If today you're a Christian, you need to ask yourself this question, and don't stop asking God until you get the answer. What has he called you to be, to do? Because please understand this. Peter is Peter, and Jesus loves Peter. Peter loves Jesus. Jesus invites Peter to go and do the work of the kingdom. Listen, please. Whatever that scorecard, report card displays about his apostleship is irrelevant to the magnitude of love Jesus has for Peter. Are you with me, church? God loves you. If you preach a good message or a bad message, God loves you. If you've been a bad husband or a good husband, God loves you. If you've been a rebellious kid or an obedient kid, God loves you. But the love of God doesn't leave you where you're at. The love of God changes you. And Peter is the man that we're going to learn from on how he can take a Galilean from the north of the country of Israel and come upon him by the power of the Holy Spirit and use him to touch the world. God may not have apostles in the world today as he did then. But I know this, God loves you, and that doesn't change. Your relationship is who you are with Jesus, but what you do is what you do with Jesus. You have a relationship to Christ, that's who you are. But what you do about that relationship doesn't define you, it's what you do. Does that make sense? And from this moment on, you need today go forward in boldness and ask God, Lord, I'm Mike. And what am I, Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ? What am I? And you'll find God tapping on your shoulder at work, at play, at home, on the street. And he's going to speak to you. And when he speaks, you listen. Father, we thank you for your love and for your truth for us. The glorious fact that Peter, an apostle, root word to that, is one that sheds or shares and spreads the message. Peter was a fisherman possessed by the Holy Spirit with a message. It's that message that you used in that man that opened up doors for him that he might travel the known world in your name, to be arrested and beaten in your name, and to die in Rome in your name. And so, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that our lives, you would even now, Father, baptize us afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. That God, from this moment forward, we would experience, Lord, a greater sensitivity of heart toward your leading. And Father, that we would embrace, because we belong to you, we would embrace all that comes our way, that we might be holy, righteous, dedicated servants of the Most High God. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Anchored to the One True God. Thanks for being with us today. And our hope is that you allow Peter's letter to guide you through the difficulties of this life and encourage you to keep moving forward, even in your time of need. Anchored to the One True God is part of Pastor Jack's series called The First Epistle of Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, like the Apostle Peter, we've all made mistakes. We're often prone to make rash decisions or jump to conclusions without having the full picture. That's why Pastor Jack began Real Life Talk. These are podcast episodes that help keep us informed on what's happening in the world around us while embracing a biblical worldview. Pastor Jack tackles even the most controversial topics like abortion, gun control, socialism, government policies, and border issues. There are also podcasts where he answers Bible questions about the rapture, praying in the Spirit, and what is a Christian's responsibility in a time like this. So head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on Real Life Talk. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or you can watch and listen through the Real Life mobile app. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.